Next on our program, we will hear an overview of the cotton crop that just has passed this year. I think most of you will agree it's had its share of challenges, especially with the weather in some of the regions. Please welcome Dr. Chris Main with the University of Tennessee for this overview. Chris?
Good morning. Thank you for that introduction, Chuck. It's truly an honor for me to be here this morning to present this information to this group of folks, a truly esteemed group of members of the cotton industry. I would not be able to do this, however, if I had not had the cooperation of my counterparts from other states across the Cotton Belt to help me put this information together for this morning. So they deserve just as much credit for this presentation as I do. It's always a tricky balance whenever you're trying to review a crop in front of a large group of people representing your industry, because you don't want to focus too much on the negatives that happened, even though that's what's most in the memory of folks from the 2009 season. So what I'm going to try to do today is just quickly walk through some of the things that have happened throughout the year, kind of give a little background of where we are in cotton production, and then kind of end on a high note talking about some of the potential things that we could see in the next year that, you know, give us some optimism for increased cotton production in the near future. I'd like to start and look just at a few slides of some information over the last decade. We ended a decade just a few days ago, and I think it's a good time to look back at what cotton has accomplished in that time. If we look beginning throughout most of the early and mid part of this last decade, we averaged anywhere in the neighborhood of about 12.5 million up to 14 million acres of cotton harvested each year. Since 2006, we've seen a steady decline in those number of acres of about 35% over that time frame. That's no secret to anybody, but I think it's just a good time to step back, look, and review where we've been over that time. As we look at just the previous 2 years, there has been some positive changes occur already. Even those states that are in dark red on this slide have lost more than 15% of the acres over the last year, there are states such as Arizona, Kansas, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Georgia, and Virginia that have picked up anywhere from 1 to more than 15% of more acres over this time period. So we're starting to see a little bit of a shift back to some more cotton acres, and I think there are things that go on in other markets that can help dictate what is happening with our acres. As we look at average lint production, we had a steady increase from the beginning of the decade to about 2005, 2006. We kind of plateaued at that point in time. And as acres have declined over the last 3 years, we've seen a slight drop off in acres in that time frame. But with some of the challenges we had this year with planting late in most regions, having poor weather during harvest season, I think it's a testament to what we've been able to build in this cotton industry that we still were able to average nearly 775 pounds of lint across the Cotton Belt as a whole. Bale production, this is probably the most disappointing slide we're going to see. Comparing to 2005, this year we're going to produce just a little less, a little more than half of what we produced back in 2005. So bale production has gone way down, but at the same time, whenever you have fewer amounts of production and demand begins to pick back up, that's depleting those leftover stocks that we've had in the world for the last 6 or 7 years. So this is helping drive our prices forward as we go into the new year. Through the rest of this presentation, I'm going to try to go region by region since a lot of similarities occur during the cotton growing season. We'll throw a few numbers in there. I've got some general observations and some fairly good pictures. And then probably my colleagues will be upset with me because I've included a few quotes that I've heard over the last few years from them. We'll start off looking at the Southeast. A couple of states in this area, Florida, Georgia, and Virginia, all picked up acres during the last year compared to 2008, while North Carolina, South Carolina, and Alabama declined in acres. Yields look very similar in the Southeast as to what we'll see in the Mid-South here in a few minutes. They're higher the further north you go, and as you move south, yields declined a little bit on average. A lot of that is due to the weather that we were seeing up across the southern portion of the country during a harvest season. There's a lot of problems that have been occurred. If we look at Georgia in particular, they had late planting, and then they had a lot of wet weather at harvest that led to many immature bolls in the top portion of the crop that they were unable to harvest. Throughout the Southeast, not just in Georgia, Palmer pigweed and the resistance to herbicides is becoming more and more of an issue each year, and it's beginning to move into other portions of the belt as well. And on the sandy coastal plain soils, Georgia's beginning to see more of a problem with leaf spot diseases due to some nutrient deficiencies, particularly potassium, in their environment. So each region sort of has its own unique challenges, but particularly in this southeastern region, what are we going to do in 2010 and 2011 for a variety to plant? Over the past 2 years, over 82% of the acres in Georgia have been in triple nickel. With that variety exiting in the next, in this year and the following year when we will not be able to plant it anymore, there's going to be in the neighborhood of 700,000 to 800,000 acres in Georgia up for grabs to put seed on. What is going to take that market? You notice that in the last 2 years, there's no other variety that has over 3% market share in that state. So what happens in Georgia with variety selection can drive a lot of what's going to happen in our cotton market in this country. Dale Monks in Alabama, when I talked to him before Christmas, I said, Dale, could you send me some information for the crop review? And he says, well, I can sum it up in one sentence. It rained a lot, then it didn't, then it rained a lot, and oh yeah, it's still raining. I think that sums up pretty well the lower southeast and mid-south for most of the growing season. That's a fairly accurate quote. David Wright in Florida had acres go up a little over 15%. They're up to 85,000 acres this year, and they're expecting more next year. That is with the caveat if they can get the 2009 crop out of the field, because a lot of it's still there due to wet weather. So challenges can be very similar across regions. Whenever we get to the mid-south, we saw a large decrease in acres in Missouri, Arkansas, and Mississippi, a slight decrease in Louisiana. And in Tennessee, we actually picked up about 15,000 acres. Look again at the yields. As you go from north to south, more rain the further south you went, the lower the yields dropped off. Just to kind of wrap up the whole mid-south in one good slide, it was a very wet spring. We planted late, and we had a lot of reduced acres, at least in Tennessee, due to that. A very cooler and wetter than average summer for the most part. What was kind of strange is we actually had August weather in June and June weather in August. So we kind of flip-flopped the year around. Almost every state in the Mid-South had extraordinary crop potential on September 1st. Beginning on the 12th of September, it started raining, and it didn't stop until the first week of November. There were intermittent periods where we could get in and do field work, but typically we were trying to harvest corn, harvest soybeans, get defoliant on our cotton, and we had very little sunshine through this period, and it dramatically impacted our crop. All of us had an earliness penalty. We always strive to have early cotton in the Mid-South. It didn't matter if we planted early or had an early maturing variety. It got hit hard by boll lock and hard rot. We lost quite a substantial amount of lint to that. The late planting penalty, with rains in the spring, many people in the North Delta didn't get planted until the first week of June. And we had a lot of immature bolls due to the cool, wet weather at the end of the harvest season that never picked. So we had a lot of similar challenges. I can title this slide in many ways. Please note that the wheels on this pivot system are actually underwater. If I'm talking to an engineer, I can tell him, well, this is when you know you need to stop irrigating. If I talk to my colleagues across the river in Arkansas, I can say, well, in Tennessee, we can grow rice under a pivot. But regardless of how you title this slide, it's a bad beginning to a year. May 22nd, there's 3 feet of water on this field. We should have had cotton planted there at least 2 weeks prior to this picture being taken. This field didn't have beans planted in it until after the 1st of July. Even where we did plant early in the Mid-South, most of that early cotton was subjected to flooding or ponding of some sort that reduced the amount of stand that we had in many areas. Palmer pigweed has invaded our area with a vengeance. From about Clarksdale, Mississippi, north on both sides of the river, there's hardly a field of cotton you can find without Palmer pigweed in it. That's a bad harvest season. What you're looking at there is about anywhere from 350 to 450 pounds of lint that hard locked on the ground that should have gone into the picker. It's very disappointing when you see that. Very common picture in Mississippi. Bolls that have rotted, bolls that are immature and not opening. When the sun did come out, the seed sprouted. Didn't help a whole lot as far as fiber quality. One of the bright spots that we do have in the Mid-South is we're going more towards mechanized picking, where we put things in modules and use less labor on the ground. I think this is what's going to make cotton competitive in our area. I always hear from my producers and producers in other states that grain's just so easy. Well, whenever you start buying module building pickers that roll it up in a round roll or pack it into a square bale, it makes it a lot easier because you don't have to have all of the equipment and all the help there to get that crop to the gin. If we look at Arkansas, it's much like our bale production throughout the rest of the United States. We've had a very precipitous drop off, not only due to acres, but because of this year's weather. You know, we're looking at less than a million bales being produced in Arkansas, which that's pretty much getting back to levels of the mid 80s. I included a slide from Louisiana that Don Boquette sent me because I think this typified the Mid-South. A much better than average crop, better than 1,000 pounds out there, picked 700. Had $81 million in losses, which is probably an underestimate. They're growing 23% of their acreage high from the mid-90s, only 230,000 acres. They had a million in the mid-90s. Only 30 gins opened and ran in 2009. That's down from 40 in 2008. We're losing the infrastructure in some of these areas. And if cotton doesn't make a comeback, we're going to have a hard time getting that infrastructure back after a few more years. Into the Southwest, kind of the heart of the cotton growing country, I like to always say that between Randy Bowman and anybody else in the country, there's over half the acres represented in a room. So Randy's very influential in what goes on in Texas. Their acres stayed about the same. Saw some acreage increase in both Kansas and Oklahoma, and a little bit of a drop off in New Mexico. But again, yields were fairly good considering some of the challenges that they saw this year. In Oklahoma, J.C. Banks quoted as saying they had a very strong summer but a weak finish. It kind of ties back into what we saw in the Mid-South as well. J.C., I promise I won't talk bad about your cotton. Oklahoma has good cotton. It was planted late. They had timely summer rains. They lacked rains during the later part of the growing season. In their irrigated and dryland areas, there were a lot of mature bolls that didn't fill out, so it ended up having reduced fiber quality from those weather conditions. We move south into the high plains and the low plains with Randy Bowman. His conditions were very similar to Oklahoma. They had a very cool September with early freezes in many areas. And as they continue to gin modules, what they're finding is that mic values are continue to decline and bark contamination is trending up. If we look at some pictures from out in the plains, very dry early on in the growing season, had trouble establishing or maintaining crops on the dry land acres due to reduced rainfall. Where they did have pivot irrigation, they were able to get an excellent crop established. I think the quote says it all. Not bad cotton, that shouldn't be there. About 350 pounds per acre on this field, stripper harvest. La Mesa, pivot irrigation, much better crop. Kind of sums up the high plains in my opinion. If we look at South Texas, very challenging early in the growing season, extremely dry, stayed that way throughout the growing year, and then they got wet at the end of the year. Besides weather challenges, they continue to have problems with volunteer crops coming up where they're trying to grow cotton in their rotations. And so they have sort of their own unique set of challenges in South Texas. Just to back that up, if we look at the Drought Monitor Index, for mid-May, you'll notice that central South Texas and even a little bit south and east of Lubbock is extremely dry at that point in time in the year. Very tough to establish a crop when it's that dry. I included a slide from Randy. We always hear about these districts in Texas, and I've always wondered, you know, what are low plains? Where's the black lands? What does all of this mean? So I thought I would include it in there, and it kind of sums up the Texas crop very well. Whenever we look at those districts, and we look at, you know, planted acres, harvested acres, and yield per acre, it's very quick and easy to see that in that south central area, the coastal bend and the upper coast, they took a dramatic hit on yield and bale production this year. Still failed a few acres in the plains, but not nearly as bad as what they were seeing in the southern part of the state for 2009. As we move west again, Arizona acres increased slightly this year. In California, both Pima and Upland acres declined for 2009. But what amazes me is the amount of yield that they get out there on their upland cottons. 1,700 pound estimated average for California, 1,450 pounds for Arizona. They make a lot of cotton, they make a lot of quality cotton. If we look at Arizona, they had very intermittent weather pattern at the beginning of the year, excellent conditions for getting the crop in the ground for the most part, a cool beginning to summer, but then the heat returned with a vengeance. A lot of those fields became infested with verticillium wilt, particularly in those cooler environments where they were able to get the crop established and have a good crop growing. And they ended the year with higher than average yields and good quality. Some other issues in Arizona, they're nearing the end of their pink bollworm eradication program. Probably the most exciting thing that they see is that over 95% of their cotton is some form of BT cotton. 70% of it is a Bollguard 2. So that's really helping with ending up this bollworm eradication. Unlike, like cotton, many other industries are seeing declines. The forage and dairy industry in Arizona are experiencing large reductions in forage crop plantings for the following or for the coming year. And what we're expecting is a lot of that acreage to shift back to cotton. So we could see as much as a 25% increase in cotton acreage in Arizona for 2010. When we get to California, California continues to be plagued by water issues. The cities want the water and they're trying as hard as they can to take it away from the farmers and succeeding for the most part. You know, with cotton acres declining there dramatically over the last few years due to some other commodities being more productive and water issues and transitioning ground into tree crops, we're expecting a little bit of an increase out there for 2010. Processing tomatoes, which have been on many acres, the prices are lower for that commodity. And now there's a Pima cotton that has the flex trait that make it much more attractive for planting. Some of the quotes I've seen from California, they're suggesting anywhere from 20 to 30% increase in acres for 2010. Probably the high point of 2009 is if we look at the AE index price on a monthly basis for cotton, we steadily increased throughout the entire growing season. I think that gives us all a good shot at some optimism that we might have more acres next year. It's nice to see prices trending upwards. I think we're going to continue to see that in the near future. Some of the reason for our optimism is that strengthening price on cotton. World demand is increasing. Mills are starting to buy more cotton. World production was lower in 2009. Not only did we have weather issues in the United States, but there were weather issues in China and other parts of the world as well. For us in the United States, our competing commodities are what's really going to drive our cotton acres. As corn and soybean and wheat prices continue to stagnate in the same levels that we're seeing right now, we're going to see more acres come back into cotton production. With the decline in forages and dairy in Arizona and the decreasing prices for tomatoes in California, we're going to see more acreage there. So I think we can be fairly optimistic that for 2010, we can see some increased acres. I wouldn't get too excited and say that we're going to see a huge increase and be back to where we were 4 or 5 years ago. But I think there is hope for optimism for the coming year. I'd like to end by saying, I'm glad everyone is here this morning. I'm glad we've got a good attendance at the Beltwide in New Orleans. Folks like myself with the universities have a lot of good information. They'll be presented this afternoon in the technical conferences. We would like to invite you all there. And on behalf of myself and my fellow Extension Cotton Specialists, welcome to New Orleans, welcome to Beltwide, and we hope you have an enjoyable time here. Thank you.